Hello, everyone. My name is Arthur Pendleton, and I've spent the last 15 years bringing antique furniture back to life. People often romanticize my job. They picture me standing in a sunlit room, gently sanding a beautiful mahogany table or polishing a brass handle. While that is certainly part of it, they don't realize that a successful restoration relies heavily on what happens before a single tool is lifted. Today, I want to talk about the meticulous preparation, the background research, and the budgeting that makes this work possible. You might wonder how I got into this. Most people assume I started out as an apprentice in a dusty workshop, learning the trade from a master craftsman. But actually, my passion was ignited during my time working in a local library. I was surrounded by books on decorative arts and historical interiors, and I just couldn't stop reading about them.
When a client brings in a chair or a cabinet, the research phase begins immediately. I don't immediately inspect the type of wood or examine how the joints are put together, even though those are important details later on. Instead, I step back and examine the shape. That instantly tells me the stylistic era, whether it's Victorian, Georgian, or perhaps an early Art Deco piece.
Once I know the era, I need to pinpoint exactly who made it. People often search frantically for a carved date, but those are incredibly rare to find on historical pieces. What you're really hoping to find is a maker's mark. It's usually stamped underneath a drawer or hidden on the back panel, and it acts as the artisan's signature.
To cross-reference what I found and prove its authenticity, you might think I just search online. The internet is useful for a quick glance, yes, but for true, undeniable verification, I always consult original catalogues from the 18th or 19th centuries. They have the precise dimensions and illustrations I need to be certain.
Once the research is done, we move on to budgeting, which is where things get serious. Clients usually remember the auction price they paid, and they intuitively factor in the cost of new brass fittings or hinges. However, the one thing they consistently overlook is transport. Moving heavy, fragile antiques to and from my studio requires specialist couriers, and that isn't cheap.
As an artisan, estimating the restoration itself is tricky. You can price the glue, the stains, and the varnish easily enough, but accurately projecting your labour costs is absolutely crucial if you actually want to make a living. Restoring an antique takes dozens of hours, and your time is your most valuable asset.
Speaking of materials, replacing a piece of solid mahogany or oak isn't actually the biggest financial drain, surprisingly enough. If the piece is a sofa or an armchair that requires reupholstering, sourcing specialist fabrics from traditional mills will easily be the most expensive part of your materials budget. Authentic silk or damask costs a fortune.
Because of these high costs, I always include a contingency fund of about 20% in my initial budget. You never know what's hiding inside. You might strip back the upholstery expecting to fix a few broken springs, only to discover a severe infestation of insects. Treating that woodworm adds significant cost and time to the project.
When discussing this final budget with the owner, it can be tempting to offer a low estimate just to secure the commission and win the job. But honesty is always the best policy in this business. I make sure to give them realistic expectations from day one, so there are no nasty surprises or arguments when the final bill arrives.
My final piece of advice for anyone attempting a project at home, before you pick up a single tool or strip any varnish, make sure you take detailed photographs of the piece from every conceivable angle. Written notes and sketches are fine for your records, but nothing beats a visual record to help you remember exactly how everything fits back together. Thank you for listening.